ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm here. Good morning. Listen, you know what? This whole Biden administration doing the Stephanie Miller Show, it's even more complicated, Travis, than the, you know what? Because it's like the same kind of news cycles, but just with constant good news. And it creates wardrobe problems. Like, I feel like I have shirked the environment because I ultimately didn't go with I Stand With Standing Rock t-shirt yesterday because I had to do that. I really do care. Do you? Getting kids out of cages. And now I have to, in honor of women's health, look, I had to do my separation of church and uterus shirt today because of all the things he just did for women's access to health care and overturning the Mexico City rule and et cetera.
I like that
shirt. Why do you have to make it all about you, Stephanie? Why can't you be about the environment? Why can't you support the environment, Stephanie?
I will get in my Standing Rock shirt halfway through the show. Listen, people, I can only accept so much.
Wardrobe change.
Wardrobe. Okay. Good morning. Okay.
Morning.
And Travis, you were saying, even so, we can still have nice things, right?
Yes.
Now that Biden is, you know, there's this story about the woman giving a BJ to an armed robber to detain him until the police got there. That's fun.
That's important. That's important news. That's a skill that all of us could use.
That is, that is news that
listen,
you can use.
Do what you have to do for your country, ladies.
Yes.
Although this wasn't here. This was in Slovakia.
I wonder if he knows of Melania.
This could have been Melania, I'm just saying.
She's a patriot.
Is this going to be her story? I was just trying to detain him until you could bust him for being a traitor. Oh, which there's another story about that. Ex-KGB spy makes explosive claim about Russia's efforts to cultivate Trump since, when is it, Travis? 1987. Uh-huh. I believe Malcolm Nance has mentioned that once or twice. Maybe Melania was just detaining the traitor until we could, you know, get all the evidence in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. To which we
and
say,
Malcolm Nance has a big editorial in the Washington Post today too.
That's right.
And how do we know that? Because he just told us on Wednesday. Yes. We're still too complacent about the threat of violent domestic extremism. The same thing. Should it be troubling or happy for us that the Homeland Security Department was a little bit behind Malcolm Nance? yes, we know this. I mean, it's...
It was Trump's Homeland Security Department.
I gotta tell you, though, there's part of it, you guys, that it's just not funny. That, you know, between the threats against members of Congress and how many of them are asking for, you know, security, and the fact, like, how close the Senate is, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
lunatics.
Yeah,
you know, not just will do anything they have to.
Not just people on Capitol Hill. You know, you got people like Dr. Fauci getting threats to his entire family and all of that from these crazy QAnon people.
They have Hakeem Jeffries' family's cell phone numbers and home addresses. I mean, this is really how about the Speaker of the House having to say the threat is coming from within?
Yeah.
This nutty Marjorie Taylor Greene. Somebody had a great tweet about, Hoodlum said, when Ronald Reagan emptied out all the mental hospitals, who knew they'd all end up in Congress? I mean, these are crazy. We covered most of her conspiracy theories yesterday. What's the new one that Jerry Brown used a Jewish laser to start the wildfires in California so that he could do high-speed rail there? He was trying to clear out the forest area. Oh, my God. This is a crazy person.
A gigantic space laser.
Can we get back to the BJ story for just a second?
Okay, that's important. It's Friday.
We need this kind of can-do for your country attitude right now, people. A woman performed a sex act on a gas station robber to distract him until the cops turned up. He eventually forced the station attendant to hand over cash during a terrifying burglary. A male shop assistant fled to the back after he punched him in the face. The robber punched him in the face. Maybe he didn't think of offering the BJ. Women tend to be a little more, problem solving.
Thinking on their toes.
Yeah.
Right. So then a mystery woman entered the gas station from the back door willing to help and to stall the criminal.
That's my favorite part of it.
She's not believed to be an employee. So that's, like, you know, that's a random helper. Like, that's a random act. That's a random act of kindness.
Random act of kindness,
Woman,
yes. They were
Wonder
from
Woman
Honda.
Busted down that back door and came in and gave the guy what
ladies,
he needed.
Ladies, just because you're not an employee of the gas shop does not mean you cannot offer a BJ.
She's a superhero.
Maybe she put a cuffed him with a, you know, a Wonder Woman bracelet and then, you know. Nah, nah, nah.
Maybe your superhero name should be Felicia.
Wait a minute. What was that?
Yes, yes. Good thinking, Travis.
What was that noise you just made, Stephanie?
The reportedly performed oral sex on the 24-year-old in a bid to stop him from fleeing. And it worked. So, you know, take your judgments elsewhere. Just saying. Okay.
She had him dematized.
What was that noise you made, Stephanie?
I don't know what it would sound like, Chris, through a Wonder Woman bracelet.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just saying maybe she had some sort of other tool.
Sure.
Maybe she roped it with a golden lasso first.
Uh-huh.
And then... Sorry, am I doing that wrong? It's been a while.
Yes, you're doing it very wrong. You should not hear that sound when doing that.
Oh, by the way, Cece Goldwater texted me and said, did you tell everyone I gave you a sex toy? I was like, yes.
Well, you didn't say her name yesterday.
She said, did you chat about the vibrator I gave you on the show today? I just did an op-ed for the Washington Post. So that might feed into all the comments I've been receiving that I'm probably a lesbian. Cece Goldwater is not a lesbian. She just gave me a vibrator, which I do not use because I don't use sex toys. I'm sorry. It was very generous of you, Cece. Cece is not a lesbian. Oh, but because she said the Republican Party has lost its way and they would have to censure her grandfather, Barry Goldwater, now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, obviously, right-wingers would think she's a lesbian because...
Yeah.
Yeah. She said maybe we should make a porn film called Goldwater on Miller.
Oh.
See? Problem solver. Thinker. Just, you know, we all got to do what we can in this COVID environment for money. Okay.
And also gets you laid.
Except I feel like that would really revive that she's a lesbian when she is in fact not.
You know what? Maybe she's like that woman who broke in the back end of the gas station. She's just doing it for the country.
She's fluid for patriotism or for money, perhaps.
Yes.
Why do I feel I'm going to get another text? Did you today on the show say? Did you in fact make it worse? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Okay. But you want to know the ultimate reason why we can have nice things, Travis?
Why is that?
It involves today's happy hour. So my new best friend, Roseanne Arquette, and I have been texting because we're trying to set up a hike.
You're stalking her.
No, we're going to go hiking. She is today's happy hour because she's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world. And I love her. But so we're trying to set up a time for a hike. And she was like, oh, no, I'm a morning girl. And yeah, I love to. But I'm shooting L Word this month. So I don't know my schedule yet. I was like, wait. You're on L Word. I just died and went to heaven.
You're in.
Roseanne Arquette's going to be on L Word. Oh my God. Things are looking up.
This is your ticket to the power lesbians.
I got to go get me a power lesbian. Okay. All right. And you know why else things are looking up? Because you got me Glenn Kirshner.
Justice is coming.
Not just justice, let me tell you what.
What?
He just makes me happy, right? He said, the world is watching to see if the U.S. will prosecute those who attempted to overthrow the government. Trump, Don Jr., Rudy, as supported by Cruz, Hawley, and others. If we fail to prosecute, we are inviting tomorrow's insurrection, and tomorrow the insurrections might be smarter. Thank you. Right? There are 1,000 reasons that we need to do this. It is okay. And this just gets scarier by the day. What he incited and is enabling is only getting scarier. And didn't Mitt Romney say it again? Just say this election was fair, and then we can talk about everything else.
And we've got audio of that now where there's audio of that now.
Oh, could I have that, please, Chris? That would be cut 14 calling an audible over here. Here we
people
go.
People largely on my side who are saying, look, an impeachment trial is going to inflame passions more. I say, first of all, have you gone out publicly and said that there was not widespread voter fraud and that Joe Biden is a legitimate president of the United States. If you've said that, then I'm happy to listen to you talk about other things that might inflame anger and divisiveness. But if you haven't said that, that's really what's at the source of the anger right now.
Right. Mitt Romney also making the same point C.C. Goldwater did about today's Republican Party. And my point is Mitt Romney is a lesbian who has sent me a vibrator. What? What did I say?
No.
I feel like that was Mitt Romney
saying talk
to the hand.
Here's my point. No, but this is we talked about C.C.'s, you know, what do you call it, op-ed, in that it's so insane. And Chris speaks to this, that he's lived in Arizona, this Arizona GOP. But this is who the Republican Party is becoming.
Yeah.
Like, they censured Cindy McCain for defending her husband against Donald Trump.
The Arizona,
and they complain about cancel culture.
Yeah, the Arizona Republican Party is basically a bellwether for where the rest of the Republican Party in the United States is going. You know, Arizona is doing it first, and you know, the rest of the party is going to follow. It's scary what's going to happen.
Well, by the way, oh, I love this. This is just another happy day tweet. Russell Drew tweeted, the rise of Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene proved my point. I said 4 years ago the Democratic Party would survive the Trump presidency, but that the Republican Party would not. And now it's all coming to fruition, a well-deserved ending. I mean, they really do appear to be like splitting, disintegrating in front of our eyes. And apparently, even Republicans warned Kevin McCarthy, you're going to look weak if you go to Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. And he did. He looked like a completely spineless weenie.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Sucking up to this would-be dictator, twice impeached, two-time popular vote loser. What's he doing? He's been in Mar-a-Lago more than he's been in his district here in California. I mean, what a pathetic party. And he put Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Education Committee? Someone has called for the execution of members of Congress, including Nancy Pelosi.
And someone who called the Parkland shooting a false flag event.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Travis. Could you explain again, why is the laser that Jerry Brown used to start the wildfires in California, why is it a Jewish laser, technically?
Because they're Nazis and Nazis don't like Jews, so Jews are evil. So Jews would have the space laser, and that's how they beat the Nazis and stop the internment camps.
Okay, let me just write that down. Okay,
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, Venn diagram that.
I was winging that one.
I was listening to the Bob Sestak show, as I tend to do, because it is fantastic. Oh my God, I'm so bad. You know what I totally spaced on asking him about? Is he grew up, you know, Butch Bowers,
Lindsey Graham's Butch friend.
Lindsey Graham's imaginary Butch friend that lives in Niagara Falls, you wouldn't know him. So, but Bob said, you mentioned this, but I forgot to ask Bob about it. He grew up with the Bowers family. He was friends with Butch Bowers' little brother. He, you know, hung out at the Bowers house and yada, yada, yada. And so Bob knows him. So Butch Bowers became a lawyer. Butch Bowers' father went to jail. He was a crook for, I think it was embezzlement or something. Oh. And I thought, oh, so now we know why Butch Bowers became a lawyer.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I see. So since he was a boy, that's what he's dreamed of, is getting crooks off. Like, so now he's going to represent Donald Trump for the impeachment trial. Perfect. Right?
Oh, my God. He's going to have daddy issues with
Donald. This whole party. It's like Daryl, what's his name down in Orange County? ISA, right?
Yeah,
so, he made a fortune.
San Diego County.
Car alarms. Why? Because he was a car thief. He's like, you know, someone ought to make an alarm to protect people from people like me. I was like, oh my God, I can't with this whole party. They're just okay. All right, so we have Glenn Kirshner. Travis has indeed gotten me Glenn Kirshner, who is coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, it is a sexy liberal Friday, so Fridays with Bugle Psych and Fridays with Frangela. There, my chiffon is already wet.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, get it. Get on The Stephanie Miller Train. Get it. Okay. We have Glenn Kirshner coming up. Oh, look, it's a love letter about our technical difficulties. We needed that. Drew says, Steph, you all are at your effing best when you're dealing with technical issues. This week has been a hoot. Oh, for us too, Drew. Blessings on you and your sexy liberal compatriots. Drew in Arkansas, very much enjoying our angst without millennials. Okay. Listen, all the plates are spinning this morning, right? We're good. We're good to go. Okay. Oh, and I did get clarification, Travis. So QAnon loving Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the conspiracy theory, that was in 2018. She said Jerry Brown, then governor of California, used a giant space laser to deliberately start wildfires in order to clear the forest in areas where he wanted to build a high-speed rail. So, yeah, we haven't thought of that yet to run the show. A giant space laser? Maybe that would help with the... Okay.
He's like the Dr. Evil of public transit.
Yes, apparently. He's just petting his cat, Mr. Bigglesworth.
What, $1 billion for my railroad?
$1 billion.
And a giant space laser.
Okay. Brian Klaus says, what do you have to do to get expelled from the Republican House caucus? If peddling dangerous conspiracy theories, claiming mass shootings were false flag hoaxes, harassing victims, or literally calling to execute members of Congress isn't enough, what would it take, Kevin McCarthy? What would it take exactly to get expelled? I can't. Okay. Hawley, speaking of traitors, Claire McCaskill said, Josh Hawley can try to lie his way out of what happened, but on Monday evening, January 4th, on national TV on Fox, Hawley's response to a question as to whether he was saying as of January 20th, Trump would be president, his reply, well, Brett, that depends on what happens on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That seems pretty damning to me. We'll ask Glenn Kirshner about that, among other things, coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Family. Yes, family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, it's a brief speed law school that I go through in order, because you know he makes me nervous anyway on so many levels. Okay, get him for me. Chris LeVoy is, get him. Okay, he's looking for the thing. All
that
right,
song. That's our special song for Mr. Kirshner.
You can't find it. Okay, he's looking for it. Travis, let's just you and I stretch and talk about my deep abiding love for Glenn Kirshner.
Thank God, former U.S. Attorney Glenn Kirshner is here.
Thank God we had to stop.
Former 30-year federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner.
I can listen to him talk all day.
Who has answered the call for his country once again. MSNBC legal analyst Glenn Kirshner.
On the Stephanie Miller Show all day.
Piercing blue-eyed Glenn Kirshner.
We got that Glenn Kirshner now and I feel okay.
Oh, hi. Hi, Glenn Kirshner. Good morning.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm living mostly on your tweets these days, mostly on the hashtag justice is coming tweets, because this is what I was afraid of, is what Mitch McConnell was hoping on, that we're just going to, this will all just sort of calm down. We'll just sort of forget that 3 weeks ago, a violent insurrection against the United States of America, that I'm going to say now, the death count should be 7, right? Because 2 Capitol police officers have killed themselves over this in the wake of this. Talk to us about, I mean, you just basically, I read your tweet about the world is watching to see if the U.S. will prosecute those who tried to overthrow our government. Yeah. How is this even a question? No idea what happened. I
looked over. Yes, Steph, it's an ongoing crime, and that is what infuriates me. It really does. And I'm not quick to anger generally. You know, I worked murder cases for 22 years. I never got mad at the killers. They were doing what they did. I did what I did to try to hold them accountable. But, you know, Donald Trump is golfing in Florida, and he's plotting his revenge against, among others, Republicans. And let's face it, he's about to announce a parallel presidency. I am the true president, and I'll be running the White House in the South, in Florida. This is an ongoing attempt to overthrow the government. This is an ongoing insurrection. It's an ongoing seditious conspiracy. And we're sitting here doing nothing. You know, Steph, there are three ways to arrest somebody. One is what we call a probable cause arrest. When we see the fleeing felon running away from the bank with the big bag of cartoon money, you arrest him. That's a probable cause arrest. The second way to do it is the robber has now gotten away with the money and is sitting in his house counting his take. We go into a judge's chambers and we swear out an affidavit in support of an arrest warrant. So that might take an hour, a day, a week, but it's a way to promptly arrest the bank robber. The third way is apparently what we have settled into. It is a long-term grand jury investigation that, Steph, take it from me, can last months or years. And at the end of it, when you've got all the evidence, you ask the grand jury to indict. Once a grand jury indicts, then a judge issues a bench warrant to lock the person up to answer the charges of indictment. That is when there's no public safety issue at risk. Right now, Donald Trump should be arrested on an arrest warrant issued by a judge, and we should put a stop to his ongoing crime spree.
Yeah, that is so interesting you say that, because obviously, you know, Nancy Pelosi basically yesterday said the enemy is within. You know, obviously this is on a congressional level. But, you know, obviously that's what I, you know, we've been saying is this is not just expulsion from Congress or impeachment. You're right. I mean, this is what I've been waiting to talk to you about, is this is criminal. And you seem hopeful. You said as Trump golfs in Florida, the only question is when, not if, he'll be criminally charged for these crimes, because hashtag justice matters. Justice is coming. And you said when someone poses a danger to the community, we don't do a long, leisurely grand jury investigation while the person endangers the public. We promptly apply for an arrest warrant. Trump has been and continues to be a danger. And he should be arrested. As you just said, arrested. I mean, it's obviously, it's not just Homeland Security, Glenn. It's one disturbing story after another, whether it's Hakeem Jeffries and his family, whether it's AOC, whether, I mean, I have a really horrible, ominous feeling, don't you? And that is that you're saying clear and present danger. That's what that means.
Yeah, the enemy is within. And apparently we're sitting there having tea and crumpets with the enemy instead of holding the enemy accountable. And every day that goes by when we don't hold the enemy within our government accountable is, I think, doing a disservice to the American people. And as the world watches, they see that we can no longer govern ourselves. I mean, we need to act, and we need to act now, not wait 6 months until the grand jury returns indictments.
Yeah. Glenn, when you talk about, you know, this, let's talk about the impeachment trial. You said, I've prosecuted for 30 years, and I'm not sure I've ever had as much evidence of guilt has been amassed against Trump for dozens of crimes. Well, somebody please step up and prosecute this mope already. Just the fact that you used the word mope already, I was already in love with you. But how long do we let this criminal run wild? That's what I, you know, in a perfect world, Glenn, I was saying this is all one crime and it should all be laid before the American people for history and prevention, et cetera, starting from Russia, Ukraine, through the present. In terms of, because it's all one crime. It's all cheating to, you know, it is all subverting the democracy of the United States, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's the sin of law enforcement timidity. That's what we're dealing with. When law enforcement sees crimes that have been committed in plain sight, in broad daylight, publicly reported, and it does nothing, either because it's too timid or because it's trying to wrap everything up in a nice little indictment bow in the grand jury, or it's because of political criticism that will come. We're just doing the American people a disservice. And, you know, I'm hoping that soon we're going to see indictments drop. And I have to believe, Steph, that we will see Donald Trump standing before a court as a defendant, because if we don't, then we're endorsing Donald Trump for a 2024 run for the presidency.
Yeah. So what you made an interesting point too, Glenn. You said Senate impeach trial, the sequel. Here's why all the jurors, quote unquote, have disqualifying conflicts. Accountability justice is not achieved at a Senate impeachment trial. It's achieved in a court of law. Because, you know, when you have Cruz and Hawley, as I call them, you know, the lookout and the getaway driver as part of the jurors.
Perfect.
That does not inspire confidence, does it?
No, an impeachment is an intensely and exclusively political endeavor. It has nothing to do with an actual court of law. And think about it. The jurors are victims of the insurrection. They are witnesses to the insurrection. And in some cases, they aided and abetted the insurrection, like Hawley and Cruz. Those people are disqualified from sitting as jurors and passing judgment on the person who incited the insurrection. This is political folly. It's political theater. And, you know, whether they convict him or not, it doesn't really matter. What we have to do is get him in a court of law and hold him accountable.
But so how does that work, Glenn? Jamie, it's important. I've got Glenn Kirshner. Okay, Glenn. Yeah. Glenn, my point is, who charges him? How do you get Trump in a court of law for what absolutely, to me, I agree with you, looks like it's a criminal act. It's not just a, you know, we want to have some political thing. He is criminally responsible, isn't he, for the death of these people?
Yeah, there are three ways to charge him, and not just for the insurrection, but for his 4-year crime spree. One is to have state court offenses, a la the New York district attorney who has been investigating him for financial fraud in New York. That's one way. The second way is to have the federal government, the FBI, secure an arrest warrant for him and charge him. Then the third way is all 50 states should be investigating the preventable coronavirus deaths for which Donald Trump has criminal responsibility. We have a project up and running with Team Justice, which is a great core group of people that are just, we're just not going to go away.
Right. Now, Glenn, you
achieved for the state attorneys general.
Yeah. And now you've seen the, who is he called, Travis? The QAnon shaman, the furry Viking helmet guy,
yes.
Who is facing 28 years in prison. He wants to testify against Trump now in the impeachment trial. And, you know, I know this guy looks like a clown, but, you know, their point is sort of that they should somehow be able to use testimony, whether it's video or whatever, of all of these people saying they were there at the behest of Donald Trump, that they were
Absolutely.
Incited by Donald Trump.
And Steph, every cooperating witness that I sponsored in 30 years, and I was called the king of the cooperators, and that's not a compliment, because cooperating witnesses are criminals who decided to flip against the bigger fish. They're difficult to manage. They're difficult to clean up and get on the stand and convince to tell the entire truth. But we do it, and we do it every day. So here's what I love. The FBI is all over the country right now, every day locking up insurrectionists. You know what they're doing? They're taking them to the local Washington, the local FBI field office. They're Mirandizing them. And if they waive their Miranda rights, they're interrogating them. They're getting them to confess. And then they're asking the all-important motive question. Why did you do it? And you know what they're saying? Donald Trump told me to. Donald Trump told me the people in that building stole my vote, stole our election. And he told me to go stop the steal. That's what I was doing at Donald Trump's direction. I love it. Because then what we do as prosecutors is we decide which one of those people to offer a plea agreement and a cooperation agreement to. We let them plead to a lesser charge, and then we put them on the stand at Donald Trump's insurrection trial. It's a beautiful case against Donald Trump, and that's what's being built in the grand jury right now.
Yeah. Oh, a shiver. One thing you said on Twitter, Glenn, and then I've heard elsewhere, is you said, I'm confident there are lots of pocket pardons issued by Trump. He was never one to forego a good grift. Once again, something that I'm like, is that legal? Can he? And people are like, yes, he can. So he could have pardoned himself and his children and God knows who else. And how is that legal, Glenn, that they're sure. Secret pardons or whatever?
So the Department of Justice, the Office of the Pardon Attorney, which in normal times is involved in the process of deciding whether a president should issue a pardon or not, Donald Trump just sidestepped all of that and started doling out these ridiculously corrupt pardons in many instances. But Steph, there's nothing in the law, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the only way a presidential pardon can be valid, can have lawful effect, is if it's announced to the public. There's no requirement to announce publicly that a pardon has been granted. So what's going to happen? We're going to ultimately charge Don Jr. He's going to walk into court and he's going to say, look at what daddy gave me. And he's going to pull his pocket pardon out as a way to try to defeat being prosecuted. Then we litigate it. And then I predict the courts will strike down corrupt pardons delivered to co-conspirators as being invalid and against the law.
Well, that's what, you know, I think our friend Neil Katyal had said that, you know, as usual, some of these were done so sloppily and badly that and for others too, right? Whether it's, I don't know, remember who,
Roger Stone,
that they're not, Flynn. That these pardons are not going to work. I mean, first of all, they have no Fifth Amendment anymore, right? They have to testify and they have to tell the truth or they go back to prison, right?
Yeah, the Fifth Amendment thing is tricky. The prevailing wisdom is that when you're granted a pardon, you no longer have a right against self-incrimination because you can't incriminate yourself because you can't be prosecuted. However, we have to keep in mind that if the conduct of the Paul Manaforts or the Roger Stones of the world also violated state law, then they do retain a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination because they could incriminate themselves for purposes of state court prosecution. So what would happen is the state authorities would have to grant that person immunity to extinguish that remaining Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination.
Okay. Well, what's your prediction on this impeachment? I mean, the one thing I keep saying, Glenn, is time does not seem to be their friend. There's more and more like damning evidence that appears to be coming out. And I just, you know, I'm happy clappy like you are and hashtag justice is coming. But I just think never say never in terms of, you know, not that Republicans will do the right thing because it's the right thing, but because the evidence is so overwhelming and damning. What do you think?
Yeah, I hate to predict what the Republicans will do, because if they decided to grow a spine, man up, woman up, then they would hold him accountable for inciting an insurrection. But because it would require a spine, I think it's very unlikely the Republicans will step up, which is another reason, a collateral reason, why we need to arrest Trump now and the others who incited the insurrection, like Don Jr. and Giuliani, because it is only if it looks like the government is working toward justice and accountability for the top dog criminals that other things will fall into place. And absent that, the Republicans are going to continue to push these dangerous boundaries.
Yes, and history shows us, Glenn, that, you know, failed coups are usually followed by successful coups. And so, right. You know, there are a million reasons why, you know, people have got to take this seriously. And it's not just the Homeland Security threat. It's story after story of these dangerous, scary stories that this is not over. This is ongoing, as you said. This is an ongoing coup. And
And an attempted coup without accountability is nothing more than a trial run.
Oh, this is why I have to leave you on that pearl. I love you, Glenn Kirshner. You give
love
me hope.
Love you too, Steph.
You make me believe in truth, justice, and the American way, Superman. I love you. Mwah. All right.
The 21st century is a very dangerous century.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Jeff Tiedrich tweets, what kind of asshole political party falls all the F over itself in a mad dash to kiss the ass of the failed fascists who tried to get them all killed? Yeah. That kind of sums up Kevin McCarthy and his ilk.
Yeah.
But,
question.
You know, I know. And I had such a big stack for Glenn. You're right, Travis. I don't have time to ask him everything. But I wanted to ask him about the snitch Proud Boys leader. And you said, ask him what going to happen. I'm like, I believe that snitches are going to get stitches, if I'm correct. That's what I was saying yesterday. Maybe we just stand back and let them all off each other. I don't know what's happening. But so Proud Boys leader Enrique Terrio is facing a backlash from some of his followers over newly uncovered court documents show that he was a informant for the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
He posted an explanation on Telegram, the right-wing whack thing, and insisted that he was no longer working with law enforcement to snitch on fellow Proud Boys. However, here were some of the comments. Only a snitch would write a 10-paragraph post saying he's not a snitch. This snitch worked with the feds. This phony traitor should step down. This man is definitely an informant. He's playing you all. He set the trap for patriots to be labeled domestic terrorists. Open your eyes. Once a rat, always a rat, wrote another.
Oh, God.
Maybe this will all just work itself out. Maybe we'll just all step back and be like, you know what the 3%ers said about you? Hey, Oath Keepers, you know what the Proud Boys said?
Yeah. Let's just infiltrate and like just pit them against each other.
Yes.
It is worth noting Telegram is not a right-wing app.
Right.
Telegram is an app that is used by a lot of people.
Yeah.
It just happens to be the place that a lot of those terrorists have migrated to.
Yes.
Yeah, it's getting scary. West Virginia man arrested yesterday with a gun right near a congressional office building who was of course, a Trump supporter who had been to the protest at the Capitol from West Virginia. His Facebook page is awash in Trump memes and coronavirus misinformation. He had a 9mm gun and 20 rounds of ammunition. I mean, I just really have an impending feeling of doom that we have got to, as Glenn says, take this like the clear and present danger that it is, according to Malcolm Nance and others. Okay. John Finkelstein, Frangel, all coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Okay, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, golly, we've so enjoyed all the helpful suggestions, technically and otherwise, as we... do the show with half the staff now decimated with COVID. The other half, not us, we've recovered.
Right.
And now we have the other half of our staff in quarantine, et cetera. Okay, and so the latest is what? My earrings are hitting something that's bothering somebody?
It was making a tapping sound. The tapping sound is now gone. Yes.
Okay, we appreciate that suggestion as well. Okay. Tom writes, let me ask you this. Did people complain to Marconi because they couldn't hear the first radio broadcast? Did people in 1928 complain to NBC because the Dodge Victory Hour was scratchy? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? The answer to all of these is hell no. So all of you who want to be an engineer should stop complaining to the Stephanie Miller Show and the Moops, who are just trying to stay on the air. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Okay.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Okay, all right. Yep. So I now, finally on Friday, I need some love letters, Chris. If you could give me some love music. Robert writes, hi, Steph. I've been a... Because I don't know, for something... For all of the mishaps, Travis, there's something apparently about my lighting and the way people can see us now on Zoom on Free Speech TV that is magical, I guess. Hi, Steph. I've been a subscriber for many years. For the most part, I only listen to your show because I'm a truck driver.
Oh.
I have in the past had a chance to watch you on Free Speech TV. I send them donations also. Thank you. But that was some time ago. My driving pattern has changed, and now I watch most days. What the F did you do? You look 20 years younger. I mean, I've seen plastic surgery, but you look fantastic. You look better than the first time I saw you. Whatever you're doing is working. You've turned this straight white trucker into a lesbian. Love, Rob. Oh, well, you know who I called up. I called up, you know.
Yeah. Dr. Nicoli. Newport Beach.
You know the one, Dr. I think it'll be all right.
And a little Plexiderm to preserve it. But thank you, Robert. And then Dan said, hello, Steph, my nephew says you look 30. Love and light. You know, this is getting... My Twitter age was officially 35, and also Carol Burnett thought I was 35. But that was like 5 years ago. So I don't know if I can take this new pressure. So I don't... Stop. Okay, stop lowering it.
Well, you also have a good ring light, too.
Yes.
I do. It's amazing what a little Plexiderm and a good ring light will do. But yeah. Thank you, whoever's nephew that thinks I'm 30. Okay. That's a little
we'll
too much
it.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. And all, well, you know what it could be, Travis, is all the happy news.
Yeah,
and
there's
also,
a lot.
Also, all the sad news for Donald Trump. Could I have the tiniest of violins, please, Chris?
Which one now?
A long time coming. Trump Plaza in West Palm Beach, Florida residents rejoice after unanimous vote to remove Trump's name from their condo complex. Many Trump branded properties removed his name after the election in 2016. And now the rest of them are. And then this one, with Trump out of office, his D.C. hotel is relatively empty. Seems business isn't so hot when there isn't a president to influence. Have you seen the video of the big empty
lobby at
Trump International Hotel? Oh, so sad. So sad.
They're going to need to sell that. I don't know if they're going to get what they wanted for it.
Is Mike Pence crashing in the lobby there, or where is Mike Pence living now?
There's probably some empty rooms for him if Trump wanted to do him a solid.
I'm sure he doesn't.
Before the impeachment trial.
Yeah. No, he doesn't want to do anybody solid.
All right. So I've had trouble with my wardrobe this week because now because you know what? It used to be fairly easy, right? Just a good F Trump or not my president t-shirt and I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
Right? And now I had to do my getting kids out of cages shirt yesterday. I stand with Standing Rock for the right. No more Keystone Pipeline. Now today I'm doing my separation of, here it is. Separation of church and uterus for protecting women's health and right health access. The Mexico City rule. Okay, here is President Biden.
It's been a busy
President
week,
Biden.
And I've signed executive orders tackling COVID-19, the economic and climate crises, as well as advancing racial equity. But today, I'm about to sign two executive orders that are basically.
Am I not hearing something, or did it cut out?
It cut out.
I think it's been cut out.
Yeah.
Well, he said basically, I'm just undoing Trump's damage.
No.
He said, I'm not. Yeah. This isn't anything new. We first have to just undo all the damage that Trump did.
Right.
To fix Medicaid and Obamacare, mm-hmm.
Right.
Or the ACA.
Exactly. All right. Let's hope this one works. Yes, President
There's
Biden.
Nothing new that we're doing here,
there we go.
Other than restoring the Affordable Care Act. And restoring the Medicaid to the way it was before Trump became president, which by fiat he changed, made more inaccessible, more expensive, and more difficult for people to qualify for either of those two items, the Affordable Care Act or Medicaid.
Oh, my God. And what about the twin disaster, Travis, of him doing that as we're in the middle of an unprecedented pandemic?
Yeah.
Right? It's narrowing people's access to health care. So one more, President Biden.
And the second order I'm going to be signing also changes what the president has done, the former president has done, and that a memorandum reversed my predecessor's attack on women's health access.
You could tell even he's having trouble remembering that Donald Trump isn't president anymore. He's president, right?
Yes.
He was like the president. Oh, I mean, former president. It's almost like, Chris, our favorite scene with Lily Tomlin in 9 to 5. I'm a doctor. Oh, I'm a doctor. Piss off.
Yes.
I'm president. Piss off, Donald Trump.
I know he's had the vaccine and everything, but I also get a little tense every time I hear Biden cough.
Yeah.
I know. You're like, oh, no. Okay, so he rolled back anti-abortion measures put in place and shored up the Affordable Care Act. Right. There was the executive order, reversed policies put in place by the Trump administration that weakened healthcare.gov insurance marketplace, made it more difficult for people to get Medicaid, as we just talked about. He will also issue a presidential memorandum reversing the Mexico City policy, a global gag rule, which bars U.S. tax dollars from going to international organizations that provide abortion services, and directing the Department of Health and Human Services to reconsider policies put in place that limit funding for groups in the U.S., like Planned Parenthood, that provide abortion and family planning services. First of all, as we've always said, they do a lot more than just abortion. That's why this was just such an egregious, you know, all of it, rule and whatever. And it's, okay, first of all, separation of church and uterus. But okay.
Yes.
Trump's executive, because Trump's actions were done through executive power rather than legislation, because he doesn't even know how a bill is made or what he was doing, Biden will be able to reverse many of them quickly and unilaterally. Ha ha, be gone. You have no power here anymore. Ha. And here's your stupid Sharpie orders as well. All right. Nancy Pelosi, man, is not fooling around, man.
No.
First of all, yes, it goes without saying some of these people should be expelled from Congress. But, you know, I think as Glenn Kirshner just told us, there should and I think will be criminal charges for some of these people. This is not just, you know, they wore white after Labor Day on the House floor, right?
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi talking about and also Republican leadership that I think, as you said, like, you know, he's more scared of the Marjorie Taylor Greens, right? And I mean, it's like he said, I'll talk to her. Really? And say what? Right? Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
What I'm concerned about is the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives who was willing to overlook, ignore those statements. Assigning her to the Education Committee when she has mocked the killing of little children at Sandy Hook Elementary School, when she has mocked the killing of teenagers in high school at the Marjory Stoneham Douglas High School.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Nancy Pelosi that angry as yesterday.
You know how she feels about children. So, like, this is, like, hitting a really, really hard point for her.
Yeah, yeah. One more. Speaker Pelosi.
Not only are they not interested in gun safety and gun violence prevention by passing legislation for background checks legislation, which is overwhelmingly supported in a bipartisan way in the country, but to have someone who would mock, call it a fake, if those fake events onto the edge, is just beyond... It's just beyond any understanding of any regard that the House Republicans would have for the House of Representatives, for the Congress of the United States, and for the heartbreak of the families.
Yeah, okay. By the way, when will people learn not to come for AOC on Twitter?
Right.
I don't understand.
Yes.
We've seen what it's like to try to run a radio show without millennials. Do not get into it on Twitter with a millennial. All I'm saying is.
Especially if you're Ted Cruz.
Right.
Yes. I mean, right. AOC has no time for Ted Cruz. So she was talking about, you know, investigating the meme stock shenanigans involving GameStop and the Robinhood app that we talked about yesterday. By the way, how brilliant is Dana Goldberg?
Yeah.
She said the stock market is like an appendix. It doesn't really do anything for us until it goes wrong, and then it can kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's accurate.
Okay. Okay. Oh, and also she said of Senator Sinema, she said, of course, the bisexual senator with purple hair is the one that wants to respect tradition of the filibuster or whatever. We're going to fix all that. Don't worry. Okay.
Oh, are we? So, is that the royal
we are?
Well, the royal we. I'm going to fix that.
I see.
Get on that, literally.
I'll be like, Cece, thank you for the Goldwater, for the Cece Goldwater, thank you for the vibrator. Get me a date with Kristen Sinema so I can get her to SK on the filibuster. That is more important for America and my love life than this thing.
What magical powers do you have that will get her to change her mind on the filibuster?
Just listen. Mister.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And this could put to bed the rumors of you and Cece Goldwater if you start dating Kristen Sinema.
Yeah.
So there's something in it for her.
You just wait there. I'm a little bobcat in the sack. Okay. So AOC's response was perfect because, of course, Ted Cruz, he's such a nerd, right? Such a nerd with the pretty girl in Congress. And I fully agree. He ain't pay attention to me. And AOC said, I'm happy to work with Republicans on this issue where there's common ground, but you almost had me murdered 3 weeks ago, so you can sit this one out.
Yeah.
Happy to work with almost any other GOP that aren't trying to get me killed. In the meantime, if you want to help, you can resign. Bam!
Boom!
That's
awesome.
Bam! That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Nancy Pelosi talking about speaking of danger to the members.
So we want to have a scientific approach to how we protect members. I do believe, and I have said this all along, that we will probably need a supplemental for more security for members when the enemy is within the House of Representatives, a threat that members are concerned about in addition to what is happening outside.
This is really, I know the word is overused, but unprecedented.
Yeah.
This is unprecedented, what is happening. And one last one, Speaker Pelosi.
What exactly did you mean when you said that the enemy is within? What exactly did you mean
It means that we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor and have threatened violence on other members of Congress.
Yeah, no, that's not sugarcoated.
You know what? I bet you she can't believe this some days. Yeah. As long as she's been in Congress and all she knows and all she's been through, I bet she can't believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, the position that she's in and all the members of Congress are in now, because the Republicans are just they're just lost.
Yeah.
They're a party that is lost. Their conscience, yeah. their way, I mean, it said everything you need to know, that ridiculous picture with McCarthy and Trump at Mar-a-Lago. You're just like, wow, okay, that's what you're going to hang on to. The failed dictator, you know, who just tried to get you killed 3 weeks ago.
They haven't been able to legislate for years. They've not proposed any substantial piece of legislation. They've given tax breaks and they've rolled back regulations. And Trump gave them something new to glom onto and follow with his MAGA crap.
Yep.
Right.
They don't have a message. They don't have a story for their party right now. Who are they there for?
But this is why, when we get back, we have to talk about, I'm so thrilled about this. Democrats poised to ditch Republicans to pass big COVID relief bill. Good. Go. Use
Darn
budget
right.
reconciliation. Get rid of the filibuster. Go and do. Make them run against. Really? Not everybody wants their schools open and their kids back in school, and mm-hmm. they want unemployment help, and they need financial help during this ongoing disaster.
Yeah.
Make them run against that. I mean, seriously, everything, the jobs bill and the COVID bill, hugely popular with Americans. Do it. However you have to do it, they are not going to help you. They are just lost. All right, 21 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Frangela and Fridays with Fugelsang as we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yes, we are. I'm a bad girl, and a sad girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. Do we still have phone lines? 323-468-1135. Sorry. Krista will be back Monday. Hooray.
Oh, she will. Okay.
That's what I think I hear tell. Yes.
I spoke to her yesterday. Yeah. She's planning on coming back in on Monday.
Hooray. And please keep sending love and light out to Jess. She is positive for COVID and has been dealing with that. Sean is still negative, though they live together. So we're sending all kinds of love and light to our clearly the most important people that keep the show going.
Yes.
And we have this has exposed who the show ponies are and who the workhorses are of this show.
This is
so
true.
I am the least essential employee here. So anyway, all right. So we're keeping it all the plates spinning, and Chris and Travis are doing an amazing job. I hate when I have to be sincere and nice to you two. It ruins my whole shtick.
It's weird. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's awkward for all of us.
All right. Okay. I won't make it weird again.
Okay. Thanks.
Until Kristen Sinema comes up.
Yeah.
That'll make it weird. Okay. All right. So Senator Dick Durbin on the importance of impeachment that we just spoke to Glenn Kirshner about.
Well, let's get to the bottom line here. We had a vote the other day. Five Republicans joined the Democrats in saying, let's proceed with the impeachment trial. It was disappointing. You know, there are many who are arguing on the other side, get over it. You know, let the president ride off into the sunset. Any disclosure of what happened on January 6th is just going to divide our nation. I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, this is so ridiculous. The Move On Caucus. One more, Senator Durbin.
We need an official record of what happened on January 6th in the United States Capitol building, where five people died as a result of this mob that stormed the building. There are already sizable numbers of American population who dispute whether or not this was really a political event on the right.
Yeah, and last one, Senator Durbin.
We've got to put the evidence on the record once and for all, so now and future generations, we can make the case. Do I believe this president should be censured if he's not impeached? I agree with it. But we need to go ahead with the impeachment trial.
Yeah. Could not agree more. So, Travis, one scary story after another. This one, some military veterans began recruitment efforts within days of the elections to challenge the certification of Joe Biden's victory, according to prosecutors. Indictments against a pair of Ohio militia members and a Virginia man show some of former President Trump's supporters recruited, trained, and transported militants to Washington, D.C. to disrupt the joint session of Congress and overturn Biden's win. The four-count indictment accuses the three military veterans of conspiring to obstruct Congress and other counts punishable by up to 20 years in prison. There have got to be consequences. Is what brilliant thing Glenn Kirshner just said, right? It's just a practice. It's practice for the next one if there are not consequences. 29 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang coming up, Stephanie Miller Show.
Think you're talking to
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Fridays with Frangela coming up. Oh, thank you. The rave's still coming in for the Sexy Liberal Virtual Tour COVID inaugural. And speaking of which, superstar.
Thank God it's
he's here.
With Fugelsang.
Thank God it's
with John Fugelsang.
Hi, John Fugelsang. Hi.
Hello. Greetings from the New York Bureau. Children, congratulations, Stephanie, on what a great special last week, even stricken with COVID. And of course, COVID is our code word for extensive opioid rehab. You were terrific.
John, I have to say, I have loved you in every form. You're the man, the myth, the legend in person, on the radio, on television, on tour. I have never seen you in stick figure form, and it was brilliant. The island of misfit smears,
yes,
of Republican smears against Democrats was brilliant, sir. It was brilliant, Sir John Fugelsang.
You know what? That's a sketch. Thank you. That was a sketch. It's the island of misfit smears is where when a Democrat's been inaugurated or just election day's over, all the lies and BS the GOP tell to get hardworking white men to vote against their own interests, they're not needed. So where does Hunter Biden's laptop go when no one talks about it anymore? It goes where the Ground Zero mosque went, where Benghazi went, where Hillary's emails went. So I tried to make this whole parody of Rudolph, and we shot it for the Christmas special, but I had green screen problems, so we literally had to reshoot the entire thing.
But, oh, my God.
So much fun, and I had such a great time with all my sketches. Jack Hayes, decriminalization cop, I think is going to come this fall to CBS.
Yes.
Breaking up with 2020, really, I really made that a three-part drama. It was very close to my heart.
That was my favorite of yours. That was my
Civil War parody, Ken Burns Civil War Part 2. Ken Burns actually toilet papered my house last week, so I think it was successful.
That was my idea. I told you to do that, and you did it. I want to tell everybody this.
We had our post-mortem meeting after the last Sexy Liberal, and it was you, and Sparks egged you on, saying, oh, you know what, John, you should, because we had the meeting the day after. It was the day after the riot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was the day after the cucks of the coup.
Yeah.
Or as I call them, the coup plan. It was the day after the riot. And you, Stephanie, said you should do a Ken Burns Civil War parody of that. And I was like, is that a gauntlet you're throwing down? Are you challenging me? And I got a wonderful violist in Regina, Saskatchewan, to play Wayfaring Stranger because it's not copyrighted. And I put together how I think Ken Burns would make a film about what happened at that time, the last stand of the Confederacy.
I love the letters home and the girls like, stop writing me, you freak. That's great. Yeah, it was brilliant. Anyway,
that's Natalia Reagan, who shoots all my stuff. She's my cinematographer for all my things. And she also acted in the Breaking Up a 2020 sketch. And she was in the Jack Hayes Drug War Cop sketch, too.
Okay. Listen, go to sexyliberal.com in the tour section. You can still watch it on demand. It is so current, so current and so brilliant. Seriously.
By the way, I love what you did because you were sick and you just filmed while you were sick. And honestly, like, it could have been a running gag, but you really pulled it together so well in the end. And substance is the last thing me or any of your audience expect from you, Steph. And you just surprised me so much. It was a lovely
My COVID diaries, and I know the camera work was fantastic,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, but you put a button on it at the end that, like, really brought the whole thing together. I love how these shows keep getting better and better and more fun.
Well, John, it's too hard. People keep saying the best one yet. They said that was the best one yet. We're like, and I think we talked about it yesterday. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but do you understand what we're doing without any writers or producers? Like, we're doing a full-on Saturday Night Live, doing our own camera work, our own writing, our own, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of all of you. I'm blown away every single time.
Well, thank you. It's really a pleasure. And again, we are like SNL, except the last half hour of our shows are funny.
So, John, speaking of which, you were just talking about Republican smears. What is honestly your advice on when we get all like, oh, Benghazi, and I can't believe they're not going to, impeachment. They are immune to these charges of hypocrisy. Oh, Mitch McConnell shoved Amy Coney Barrett, and now he's talking about he stole a Supreme Court seat. Now he's talking about, respecting the rules. It's like, I feel like they're immune to that. We just have to do it. I was just talking about this one. Democrats are preparing to push through a large coronavirus relief package without Republican support if necessary in order to confront what they're calling a historic health and economic crisis in America. Yeah. Chuck Schumer said only big, bold action is called for, pledging to move forward and pass a bill even if Republicans object. They can muscle through spending legislation with only 51 votes, budget reconciliation. They can only use this twice, but it's the same procedure Republicans utilized several times over the past two decades to advance their agenda. And their agenda, John, is giving tax cuts to the rich, which blow up our deficit and ruin our economy. So I say hold your breath on Republican hypocrisy. Just do it. Use the same raw power they use to do things that are good for the people and then make them run against that in 2 years. What do you think?
Charlie Brown knows the rules are someone holds a football and then I run and kick it. Mm-hmm. But Lucy knows the rules really are humiliate Charlie Brown because that makes me think I'm winning. And we keep thinking the Republicans aren't playing by the rules. They're playing by the same rules they have played for since Newt Gingrich was sworn in 1994. And it's even older than that, because you had Watergate and that president walked away clean. You had Iran-Contra, 100 times worse than Watergate, no accountability. The Iraq War, no accountability. And now literal treason, literal sedition. And, on the one hand, this is not going to end well for Donald Trump. And these idiots, they've made their choice. When Kevin McCarthy went down there yesterday to kiss the ring, they made their choice as to what this country is going to be, what their party is going to be. And they care about MAGA liking them. They don't care about history books. And here's the deal. So they revealed their game plan, right? McConnell is flipped, by the way. First, McConnell was all about this impeachment, and now.
Right.
So the plan is this. Obama, third term. They are going to obstruct everything and then have Trump run everywhere with all these candidates in 2022 against the do-nothing Democratic Congress. They're going to obstruct everything so Biden tell people, because the only hope the Democrats have of keeping or building a majority in 2022 is if they actually do stuff that concretely improves the lives of people. Now, COVID, we're probably going to be okay, and Biden will look great in 2 years. And no one's going to remember this impeachment, by the way. We're Americans. We have the attention span of memento. Oh, is this impeachment going to come back to haunt us? Shut up. Or did it come back to haunt you in last November? Please.
Did you say memento?
It's all about filibuster reform. I have become such a radical on it. Biden promised to deliver these results, right? So the Democrats can pass a couple of simple bills to fix everything. But if you're afraid the GOP is going to get in there and do this in 2 years, then it's definitely going to happen. Here's the deal. In 2 years, if we allow the Democrats to be blocked, going to the voters for 2022 midterms and saying, I wanted to help you all and save the economy, but that darn filibuster,
You're exactly right. People don't understand any of that. If I have to read one more, John, of this part of the story, one Republican senator expressed disappointment with Biden for not reeling back his party and coming down from his $1.9 trillion ask for COVID relief, warning that sticking to the Democrats' current demands would poison the well for cooperation in the Senate.
Yeah, it's all lies.
Oh, no.
Everything they say is lies.
He said it would be like declaring war around here, and you've got an impeachment on top of it. This is not a good way to start off.
Yeah,
I love Chris Murphy. Senator Murphy said, oh, cry me a river. And, right?
Class warfare is anything that helps non-millionaires, right? If it helps non-millionaires, it's class warfare. If it helps millionaires, it's pro-growth. This is the same racket they have tricked and hoodwinked and bamboozled our right-wing loved ones.
Can you believe anyone with a straight face can say, oh, you're going to poison the well in the Senate? I'm like, excuse me. Yeah, Mitch McConnell strangled baby Jessica in the well after he poisoned it, years ago.
Their job is not to tell the truth. Their job is not to honor their promises. Their job is to reward their donors. That's it. If you reward your donors, you get to be in Congress for decades and then be a lobbyist and be rich and do nothing. That's the whole Instagram game.
And I love Jen Psaki, superstar. We need a
Psaki bomb.
Jen Psaki, superstar.
Psaki bomb.
Lawmakers floated the idea of passing a small bill with relief checks and vaccine money and then passing a bigger one later. Jen Psaki rejected that idea, saying we are not looking to split a package in two. John, we got to learn this lesson that we water things down and we, in the name of compromise, and then they don't vote for it anyway.
Yes.
And then we
have the last bill was watered down so much, Dick Cheney's pouring it on a guy's face in Gitmo. Look. You can't have a filibuster during a pandemic. I think that was a Dr. Seuss episode, but you can't have a filibuster during a pandemic. Anything should be able to pass with 51 votes. That's the way it's supposed to be. And here's the tough talk now. Here's the tough love. You ready? Any Democrats who've come out and said that they're against killing the filibuster, Mitch McConnell's not the obstructionist. They are. When Joe Manchin said this, they took away all of Schumer's bargaining power. If you can't bring a big stick to negotiate with these Republicans by giving it all away and saying, no, filibuster's safe, no. Joe Manchin would use it to protect the coal industry, and it has to go.
John, you know, because you worked with me for years, you know what a patriot I am. You know that taking charge of the hot bisexual woman senator has become my personal mission. You and I will have a race to Senator Sinema to bring her gently to the light.
Maybe
she'll need both of us.
I interviewed her on Current, and I take credit for that. She is bisexual, but I'm confused. And the deal is that, with all respect to Senator Sinema, Senator Sinema takes a lot of money from certain organizations, certain industries that don't want filibuster reform. But I'm sorry, guys. Like, the greatest proof you need about BD Energy, the last Republican bill was the biggest package in history, and it was still inadequate. So now's a chance, but it won't happen if you've got Democrats being the real obstructionists right now. 202-224-3121. I'm saying it all the time.
Right.
It's the number to call the Senate. Because the Democrats can pass
and to say and to say votes. You're a senator like she does and say I'm not open to changing my mind on the filibuster. I mean, you know, I like high maintenance women, and this is you throw me that challenge.
Why would you say that? Why would she and Manchin do that? Like, you're just giving Republicans
oh my God, she and I are having our first fight, and she doesn't even know who I am.
Knows who I am.
I think she's heard of you.
Travis, I love on Twitter, people now are like blaming me. They're like, you tell your girlfriend. And I'm like, well, only my girlfriend, in that I've never met her and she has no idea who I am. But OK,
I think she knows who you are, Steph. I think she's heard of you.
At this point, she's been warned. Secret Service has told her.
But when I hear Democrats say, and I get the arguments, but at this point, if I hear someone say, but if we get rid of the filibuster now, what's going to happen to us in 2 years if Republicans take power? If you're talking that way now, the Republicans already have power in 2 years.
They've already won.
People need to see profound results. Mitch McConnell already gave us scorched earth. Merrick Garland is scorched earth. Amy Coney Barrett is scorched earth. Brett Kavanaugh is scorched earth. Noel Gorsuch should not be on the Supreme Court, okay?
Thank you.
Scorched earth, FDR-style morality. Joe Biden gets 2 years or less to do as much good as he can, because there will be no excuses if Democrats haven't produced results by 2022, and then we're screwed forever.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and on that note, we say good night. Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring funny stuff next time.
Yay!
John Fugelsang, the Sanity Cast on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, and his own fantastic show right here on SiriusXM. And,
and Sanity Cast is back, coming up with episode interviews with Jane Lynch and Kathy Griffin and Cristela Alonzo and David Crosby and Gilbert Gottfried. Lots of new stuff coming up.
Yay!
Name dropper! Nice. Name dropper! I love you. All right. Sting says to stop that. All right, I love you. Goodbye.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 53 minutes after the hour. We'll talk about burying a lead. So I have tested negative twice for COVID, and I just tested positive for antibodies. Yep. I have immunity. I have superpowers. I have a golden lasso. And Chris and Travis have both tested negative now for COVID.
Yep.
And Chris, what's your big announcement?
I am positive for antibodies. I just got that notification.
You have superpowers. Have superpowers and antibodies. Travis, go get your antibody test.
We are working on it.
You have more. You have more spandex than the rest of us. You have more actual superhero outfits. So you definitely need to get your antibody test.
I need to fit the part.
You need a cape.
No, capes are not good. Capes are not good. Capes are bad. That's how you get hurt.
All right. Because just in time for us to catch a new variant. Isn't this exciting?
That's neat.
So, okay, I was saying, no offense, South Africa, but I think you're done here. You've sent, the Africanized killer bees? And now this other variant, a new coronavirus variant in South Africa, has been found in the U.S. for the first time, right in South Carolina. Oy vey.
Yes.
The first variants, the one we have out here, is the U.K. And Brazil was previously confirmed in the United States. Some of the recent mutations may modestly curb the effectiveness of two current vaccines. I guess the shots, the vaccine is still useful. But unfortunately, there's still, this headline is racing the virus. Why tweaking the vaccines won't be simple? Because now, can you imagine? You think you're done. You've come up with a vaccine in record time, and now you're like, WTF. How many times do you think scientists have said WTF when they've heard about
tons.
Variants? You're like, what? Yes, after developing and rolling out COVID-19 vaccines at record speed, drug makers are already facing variants of the rapidly evolving coronavirus that may render them ineffective, a challenge that will require months of research and a massive financial investment. Moderna and Pfizer are considering new versions now of their vaccine that will respond to these variants. A global surveillance network to assess emerging variants must be built, and now it's another whole thing. And I was going to tell you, Travis, I think I told you I talked to another doctor friend of mine yesterday, and, he just said, it is, we were saying, apartment buildings, for instance, have common hallways. People that haven't been anywhere have been incredibly safe. I know more and more people personally now that are getting it from, they don't know where. They've been completely safe, but honestly, you can absolutely be walking down a hall and I was
telling you, Stephanie, my apartment building has, 35 apartments interior hallways just by virtue of taking my trash out.
That's why it's so scary is it's, and even though I try to be, all I do is hike or bike outside, someone can sneeze 20 feet in front of me or cough or whatever, but that's why, oh my God, I've told you guys, not only double mask, but please wear 10 condoms at a time. That's all. I'm just asking. I don't mean to delve into your private life.
I think we're okay here on my end.
Okay.
I haven't felt human touch for a very long time, so I'm good too. Thanks.
I'm good from catching it that way too. Yeah. Yes, Travis.
But part of the problem here too is there's also this California variant that we don't know a whole lot about, but we know there is a California variant. And part of the reason we have all these variants.
Ours is from the UK, but go ahead.
No, but there's a variant there's on a, that. There, even.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. Part of what's happening, too, is because it's run rampant in so many places, the more infections, the more chances for mutations to occur. So these are the ones we've identified. And they were talking about how the screening, because, like, you just get your positive results from your test.
Yeah.
They're only screening about 50,000 samples a day for these variants. And that's why we don't know. The people in South Carolina had no history of travel. They had no history of being anywhere where they could have gotten a South African virus. So that means it's in the community and it's spreading already.
Right. Yeah. No, it is terrifying. And then Novavax, that's the new one, says its COVID vaccine is 89% effective, but less so against this new South African variant. It's been some of them. That one's effective at preventing the variant from Britain. But oh my God, can you imagine? I mean, they are like, scientists are now like Lucy and Ethel in the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's insane. All right. Fridays with Frangela, the cure for everything. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Is it time for sexy liberal love letters? Yes, it is. RS says, Steph, love the sexy liberal virtual tour, COVID inaugural, the characters, the bits, the commentary, all very clever, perfect as usual. And the live panel was a nice touch. Why, John says, what? The sexy liberal inaugural show is super fun, especially Frangela lampooning those two horrid females I call charcoal and burlap. And the closing segment with all of y'all, Brady Bunch style, was awesome. Well, you know, that must mean it's time for the Black Power Hour. Did I mention that there was a really hot virtual sex scene with me and Angela V. Shelton of the Detroit Sheltons? I'm just saying, if you need another reason to go to sexyliberal.com in the tour section and watch it on demand, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yes. It's many shades of sexy liberal.
Yes. I did have a hot sex scene with both Hal Sparks and Angela, and you'll have to go see why. But listen, all my sex is virtual and imaginary. So it was hot for me. It was good for me, Angela.
It was very good for me. And it was, in fact, the most touch I've had.
I did not ask your permission. So it was a bit of a Me Too thing, too. You didn't even know you were in a sex scene with me till afterwards. So technically.
That's the way I'm best. That's when I perform my best.
Yeah.
Trust me. I know. She knows. The less I know about it, the better for everyone involved.
I don't even want to know what that means. Okay. Frangela. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Oh, wait, so I'm saving something for you. Hang on a second, because I know you've probably already done Idiot of the Week. But did you see in Australia, a woman said there were what she described as too many spiders in her daughter's room. And she said, should we just burn the house down? And I'm going to say you would make an exception, Angela, for spiders and say, yes, in fact, you should burn the house down.
Well, yeah, if there were like two, they've taken it.
Right.
Because those are recon spiders. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the whole platoon had showed up for this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. She literally asked her daughter, should we burn the house down? And I would, that amount of spiders, my answer would also be, yes, you should.
Yeah. And I think we should look at the whole block, really.
It's infested.
Just to be safe.
That's what I'm saying. They have, once they get a hold, a foothold, or feet,
So that person would not make Idiot of the Week for burning their house down. If there are spiders
involved. No, that's a hero. Okay.
That's a logical choice.
Idiot. Angela would say that they're a hero.
Okay.
When right, you are bowing to your spider overlords, you will remember this.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. So where would you like to start this week? You know, our friend Malcolm Nance was just on Wednesday. I don't know if you saw his piece. He told us about it in the Washington Post. We're still too complacent about the threat of violent domestic extremism. And it's a whole, you know, obviously he's been telling us long before the Homeland Security Department just issued this dire warning after we've seen story after story. White supremacist domestic terrorism is our number one threat. And I got to say, I'd like to be happy clappy. I'm actually really scared between the threats against Hakeem Jeffries and his family, AOC.
Yeah.
Yes. I just, you know, and them all requesting more security from the House because they're all, most of them are getting death threats.
Yeah.
We haven't been exactly here, have we, in the United States Congress, at least?
No.
Never. Never.
No, and not even during the Civil War. This is the thing. And the Republicans, the fact that they won't, that they're voting against, you know, dealing with Trump's insurrection, and the fact that RNC is talking about having Trump speak.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah. It is the most ridiculous. I can't even get my mind around how these are the people. One cop was bludgeoned to death. Over 100 and some police right. officers were injured, many severely. Two have committed suicide. And they're like, let's just move on. And then right. all those people were hurt defending their lives.
Yeah.
That is the thing. It's not like they were off in some foreign land and we don't understand what happened. It was in the U.S. Capitol. They were defending their lives. And these representatives and these senators are saying their lives don't matter. We're for mm-hmm. white supremacy. We believe in this insurrection so much. We're going to back the head of it again on our party platform. And then I got to read critiques of Biden. No.
Yeah. And right. Francis, I don't want to hear out of their mouths anymore. Liberals wanted to defund the police and liberals don't support police. We saw yeah. policemen getting bludgeoned to death, as Angela said, getting crushed to death in a door, getting beaten with a thin blue line flag and an American flag by right-wing Trump supporters.
Yeah, yeah. And someone's going to lose an eye, literally.
Yes.
One of the police officers. And no one cares. And everybody's like, well, you know, for the sake of unity, you know.
Unity?
Let's have unity. You know, it's not time for unity. It is right. time for accountability. That is the yes. time right now. There's no other time for it. This is the time to get the judges, to get the judging, and let's have a trial. Because this can't happen again. We can't continue to have people come in and say that they're going to take over our government.
Mitt Romney. Yeah. I'm agreeing with Mitt Romney hard this week. Mitt Romney said, if you want unity, then I have yet to see one of these Republicans, Mitch McConnell, Kevin Kirsten, one of them say the election was not stolen. One that's of them right. say that President Biden is the legitimate president. Though that's the thing that's divisive. That's the thing that's dividing people. But they won't address that because they want an insurrection. They're still voting for insurrection. And AOC is right. Don't talk to me about unity when you are backing people who are threatening my life.
You know, there is a weird silver unity of racial equity in that, you guys, that they are treating the white guy just like they treated Obama. They are making him the exact same illegitimate president that they are going to block everything that he tries to do because he wasn't either legitimately elected or whatever, right?
Yeah, the plan worked the first time. So why not reinstitute it every time? If the play works, work the play.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, they're not into unity. They're voting. They did everything they could to delay seating elected senators. They are trying to stop the Democrats, the majority, from having the majority say. And I got to tell you, Chuck Schumer, I'm not down. Like, it is time that we start acting like the people we are, which is the people who won, who have the backing of the majority of the country, not by a slim majority. We don't, by a real majority.
But Angela, that's why I said I give him props for yesterday saying we're doing this COVID relief bill with Republican help or not. Yes. Use the budget reconciliation. You can only use it twice, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm torn. Yeah. I mean, COVID relief we need first. Jobs, I know. Those are the two they're saying. But then guess what doesn't get done? John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Like, we need that's to do right. all of it. We need to figure out a way to do all of it, or our democracy is, you know.
Oh, I have the nerve to wake up to an article saying Joe Biden is being critiqued for using so many executive orders. I was like, are you
Are you
kidding me? I know.
Are you kidding me? Because the former idiot, he used it to try to take away the powers of the purse from Congress, to usurp actual budget authority. And you're talking about too many executives. That's all Trump did.
Yeah. And I, as comedians, Francis, I have to say, you talked about the this poor Capitol Police officer, but what have we always learned? It is only funny until someone loses an eye. So literally, we are at this point where, and if you cannot impeach a president for violent overthrow of the United States government, what is impeachment for?
What's the point?
Exactly.
How you have representatives who are threatening each other.
Yeah. And if you can't stop someone who started an insurrection to overthrow and come in and send people to kill you, I don't know who you're supposed to stop.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which story is scarier. Ohio man claimed to have special knowledge. It wasn't Donald Trump supporters who orchestrated the siege of the Capitol. He tried to blame Antifa, but the only thing he ended up accomplishing was implicating himself in criminal offenses. He was just arrested in Ohio. He posted a video on social media blaming Antifa. He said it was just a vast left-wing conspiracy between police and the media against pro-Trump individuals. While he was doing that, he acknowledged he was inside the Capitol that day. So we have to also be grateful, but some of these people are such idiots. And they have implicated themselves on social media, right?
Yeah.
But also, but I mean, it's not just stupid. It's they're not afraid.
No, because literally I read an article yesterday about the FBI and the DOJ trying to just pick a few people who would be representative of the people who stormed the Capitol and punish just those few. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Anybody whose cell phone was in there who wasn't supposed to be in there should catch a case.
None of them were supposed to be in there. They were all
That's not supposed to be in there.
They were supposed to be on the steps, let alone in the building. Every single person who got off that sidewalk and went up those steps should be arrested.
All right. Kevin in D.C. has been waiting all week to talk to Frangela. Chris, are you able to put a phone? Oh, Chris is dealing with something.
Chris is occupied right now.
Oh, okay. Can you put Kevin from D.C. on? No? Oh, all right. He's trying. There he is. Never mind.
Not right now.
Okay. We'll come back to Kevin. Sorry. Kevin's been waiting all week for you.
We love you, Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, why are they letting any of these MFers out of jail, by the way?
Because they're right.
Because
there's just, when I look at the difference between, they're ready to convict phantom Antifa people who don't exist, who have no organization and who weren't there more than they are the people who were.
Yeah.
Like, that we have video proof of.
Yes.
I still never understood Antifa. Yes, I am against fascists. Yes, I am. I am outwardly against fascists. Yeah. I thought we all were, right?
Yeah. But you know what? But it's the Antifa ghost. Let's blame them instead of Shirley, who you know is your neighbor from who's in the book club. She was up in there, up in the Capitol. But you don't want to prosecute her. You don't want to prosecute your aunt. And the most importantly, we don't want to what they don't want to prosecute are military, ex-military people who were training people to be there. Current cops. Who were in there? We're talking about, they're talking about 30 law officers potentially who were in the Capitol building that day. Why aren't they being dealt with?
Cops that are involved in the injury and murder of other cops.
Thank you. Should not
be singled out for special, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you take a tour? One of y'all, go take a tour of the Middle East for a couple months and see what happens when you come back.
Yeah,
because what this is these people went and got quote unquote radicalized and they got trained for this insurrection. We watched a small organized militia, and by militia I mean insurrectionist, terrorist, white supremacist idiots that were organized, utilize a disorganized mob to storm the Capitol, take over a branch of our government for hours while the president waited and hoped they were successful at it. Okay, and put everybody's lives in danger. They would have killed and kidnapped any of them. They were ready to do it. We just had one or two cops who, because they were black, weren't in on it. And so they didn't help out. And that's the only reason that more people weren't hurt. But to have these people sit here and not want to go after the people who attacked the people who were defending your life, shame on Mitch McConnell. Shame on all of them. How dare they?
Can I say, how many times are black people going to have to save our country?
Thank you.
I mean, this election, black people voting in this election barely saved our democracy. And you're right, Angela, that one guy probably saved Mike Pence's life and half of the Senate. Literally, they were how many, 100 feet away and 10 seconds away. If that black officer had not led them in the other direction, they were this close.
And he had the option. You saw him take the look. You saw him know that, like, he was like, okay, I'm going to go this. He literally, and he pushed the guy to keep him coming at him. Like, that is what this
man did.
And I got to hear about how, about Marjorie, what's her name? I can't.
I know. Can't. Yeah. But you are going to, because we still have the rest of the hour. 20 minutes. I mean, you literally can't even, but you're going to even.
But
us,
I'm going
right?
to even. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Little.
I know. Smile, everybody. There we go.
We're back.
Awesome.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Fridays with Frangela. Wow, our technical difficulties have followed us all week. So we are, I'm not sure, on Free Speech TV, but
yes,
not on regular radio right this second, because I don't know why. Because rain? Because squirrels? Because what?
The Fluffhagen has disconnected from the Zingama Goop.
Okay. All right. So Chris is fixing that. Can I just say, Sean Comiskey, though he's supposed to be in COVID quarantine, has been over here helping with technical things more than once. We thank him so much for that. We would not be on the air at all if he did not come in Monday. And Chris Lavoie is, we can't see him now because
he's under the
board doing the Lord's work, doing the best we can here, trying to, with the other half of our staff out in COVID quarantine now. So thank you for all your helpful suggestions. But we are,
he's leaving right now.
Some just suggested two cans and a string. Thank you for your suggestions. Okay. Oh my God! And super sugar daddy Mike from San Francisco, our amazing benefactor, I think, is replacing a piece of 18-year-old equipment for us. So God bless you. God bless us, everyone.
Can we clarify? He's replacing your 18-year-old box.
Thank you. It's a dusty, dusty box where no man's seed can find purchase.
The buttons don't work on your box anymore, and
Don't need to tell me, except for Angela V. Shelton in an imaginary sex dream.
Well, a couple of the buttons on your box do stick. They kind of stick.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you. You're just saying that to be nice. Okay.
None of that was necessary. None of that.
All right. Can I just say it was the best half hour of Fridays with Frangela ever, though, I have to say. And so we need to post that somewhere, because that brilliance cannot be lost to the universe.
And Casey, who is kicking ass for us right now over at the Progressive Voices Network, is going to be getting this up on the YouTube channel later on today.
Okay, fantastic. Aww. Yes, he is keeping us on the air here at Free Speech TV this week while Jess is out with COVID. And we thank everybody. It has been amazing. All right, so 29 minutes after the hour, we'll be back on all cylinders, I hope, with Fridays with Frangela next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Family. Yes, family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, you know what? And it takes a village to get this Stephanie Miller Show family on the air. We have to thank everybody. Even the gerbils that are furiously working in their wheel to get this all on the air today. Thank you to Casey in Minneapolis. He says he will get the interviews of John Fugelsang and Frangela on Political Voices Network on YouTube up in the, just the next few minutes in case you've missed some, because we are on Free Speech TV, but with the sound, something is happening with the regular radio show. Okay. But we are soldiering on, aren't we, kids?
It's Denver, the city by the bay's issue right now.
Yes, yes. Okay. We are trying to get it all figured out. We have half our staff out with either COVID or COVID quarantine. Krista will be back on Monday to actually answer the calls. People don't realize, Francis, I am without my box, which is not about being in quarantine and my love life. I don't have my box. I don't have my microphone. I don't have my headphones. I don't have my phone screen. I can't answer and hang up on my own calls. So we're doing the best we can here, kids. Thank you for your support. All right. Chris, we do have love. Thank you. Might I have Senator Van Hollen as well from Cut 11 talking about the GOP's loyalty to Trump? Ugh.
It's insane.
Yeah, here we go.
Chris Van Hollen. The country will face a trial. Those Republican senators will have to look at the facts and stare them head on and render a judgment. Clearly, it was disappointing that in this most recent vote, 45 of them chose to look the other way and not want to even look at the evidence before us.
How is that? Okay. They were trying to kill them. So there is no line for the Republican Party.
No. And Steve Scalise taught me that. Like, I used to think to take every single person getting shot before we get gun control. And then I watched it. And then, when it comes down to it, these people will protect white supremacy over everything else.
By the way, did you see Dana Loesch tried to compare the Capitol riot to Steve Scalise shooting? And, okay, first of all, Bernie never incited anyone to violence and condemned it immediately when it happened. It's just, this is, they are like the party of just false analogies, right?
Yeah. Well, they have to be, because otherwise they'd have to just sort of say, look, we just believe in white power. And I know we've talked all this stuff about trade and the economy and blah, blah, blah. What we really care about is protecting white power and white privilege. That's all we care about. And the 1% that we're in. Like, that's it.
Well, I mean, it's what's sad, Francis, is they are admitting they need white supremacists or they'll never win another election again. They need their crazy QAnon conspiracy, white supremacist, Proud Boy, Boogaloo base, I guess.
Well, here we are. All of a sudden, America's starting to look a little like Italy. It's starting to look a lot like other countries where they don't keep that under wraps. That these people walk around and are legitimized. We are legitimizing QAnon right now. We're legitimizing white supremacist groups right now. When we have people in the GOP who will not condemn it, but welcome it, they are embracing it. We're walking into, and here's the thing, we need to have our eyes open into a new America. This is not going away.
I think it's an unmasking. I think that for years we've been told, and we've been saying it for years, that the police, that all of these institutions are absolutely started because of white power and because of white supremacy and the attempt to keep control of it, but have been absolutely infiltrated by these secessionist, treasonous, traitorous people, you know, white supremacists. And nobody's wanted to hear that. There's just a few bad apples. Well, now we see that that's not the case. And in fact, when given a choice, that's the agenda they're backing. My understanding is they have Trump scheduled to speak at the spring RNC meeting.
That's insane.
This is just a bookmark as far as Trump is concerned, you know, in his presidency and his grab at power.
Well, you know, this goes to what Glenn Kirshner just said earlier, Francis, on the show. He said this is an ongoing coup.
Yeah,
this is why there has to be consequences. This is not over. Malcolm Nance just published today in the Washington Post, we're still too complacent about the threat of violent extremism. He told us about his new book, which is entitled They Want to Kill Americans, The Armed Militias, Fanatical Terrorists, and Deranged Ideology of the Coming Trump Insurgency.
The Republicans are doing the so-called legal part of it. Like the fact that there's over 100 congressional reps that shouldn't be seated. It's absolutely
insane. That's what Glenn said, is this really, president on down needs to be criminally prosecuted. Chris, if we could have Senator Van Hollen, the impeachment should be the first step. Chris, if I could have cut 12.
He can't hear you right now.
Oh, all right. Yes, he can hear me. Here we go. Cut 12.
Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, has been so spineless in refusing to hold his members accountable. And, you know, after he made those comments on the floor, you know, criticizing Donald Trump for having, you know, essentially incited the violent mob. And now he's headed down to Florida on bended knee, essentially asking Donald Trump for forgiveness. This is a big, big problem.
Oh, as we really just as that soundbite was playing, this popped up on my phone. A court ruling uncovered by HuffPost shows one of Trump's impeachment lawyers used racial stereotypes to kick black citizens off a jury. That's so surprising, isn't it?
I know. So unlike them.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they even let black people into the courtroom.
Yeah.
This is when I look at this, I'm like, this is insane because it is worse, but no different than if I walked up into the Capitol as a representative with an Al Qaeda flag.
Yeah.
Like talking about, I'm going to bring my gun up in here. The fact that they're letting representatives walk around metal detectors, arrest them.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, what the heck? You have the law on your side. This sort of cavalier not using the law when it comes to white people is just, it is insanity.
But, and it's from Trump all the way down.
Yeah.
Angela, it's the law. The laws don't apply to us. Rules don't apply to us.
That's why they put up, they're not just the stupid, they are stupid, but the reason that people put up and brag about this is because they have no reason to fear reprisals. I mean, the harshest reprisal I've seen is a woman sent to her mom's house with a talking to about the Constitution, and Maddow, who I love, made that seem like it was a really good thing. And I'm like, what?
Nobody gets that treatment. No person of color gets that treatment.
For jaywalking.
Yeah, it's kid gloves all day long. And I frankly, watching this whole thing, what's amazing to me is watching white people watch white people get off. And they go, wait a minute, isn't something else is supposed to happen here? You know? And they're waiting for their legal system to work. But it doesn't work like that.
Can we start with the number of these rioters that live with their mom? And then let's talk about beyond the racism, just mental illness.
Yeah.
I mean, it was thanks for the heads up that out here in California, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that apparently Jerry Brown used a space laser to start the California wildfires to clear a path for the high speed rail that he wanted. What are we going to do about mental illness? I mean, this is mental illness in this country. I mean, I blame Reagan. He apparently let everybody out of the mental institutions to get into Congress. They all ended up in Congress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a definite problem with mental illness here. And I think that there's also a definite problem with the way that we diagnose that when we have white children who have behavioral problems, we get counseling, we do all those other things. We have black children, we throw them in jail. And rearrest them, or we throw the, you know, beat them up, kill them. And I think that because we've gotten rid of those hospitals, we don't have that. Because we don't care about education, we have a bunch of stupid people who don't have any power of critical thinking. And then we have organizations that won't take responsibility for the information they put out.
Well, here's the thing: we talk about mental illness,
and after the real quick, Francis, after the tan suit. They're still going to write about Joe Biden's Rolex.
His Rolex.
When we just had a violent insurrection.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And that Rolex belonged to his dead son. If anybody has the right to wear that, it's that man. He has earned that right.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, the things that we have put up about before Trump was even inaugurated, the things we put up with.
It's a double, the double standard in hypocrisy is insane to me. It's that Republicans, you can literally have somebody like, Luke Kelly Loeffler, the richest person, you know, appointed and called an incumbent from being appointed to a position to have hundreds of millions of dollars, but let AOC borrow a suit for a magazine shoot. And it is like, what is going on? They are just taking advantage. It's like, it is the most insane thing in the world. And we continually allow it to go on instead of acting like what we are, which is the rightful winners. Like,
that's right.
I had yeah. it.
Stop yeah. apologizing. Stop asking. Ram it through.
You Thank don't you. Negotiate with terrorists. We Thank do not you. Negotiate with terrorists.
I did not ask Angela V. Shelton if she wanted to be in a sex scene with me in the Sexy Liberal COVID Inaugural. I just did it. I took what was mine. And
that's right.
Yeah.
But you know. I give blanket permission to anyone on the team.
Oh, see, that's really big of you. And also, speaking of Kelly Loeffler, this is why you cannot miss a second of The Final Word on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Because when Francis said the day after the election, Kelly Loeffler's weave is not going to be right for weeks, I still laugh. I still laugh every time I hear Kelly Loeffler's name.
It was rough that day. It
yeah.
was rough. She was in a state.
Coos are not good for your weave.
No, I don't. I know it. I have a weave, as you know, and it has really been murder. Okay, Chris, can I have one last Senator Chris Van Hollen cut 13 before we go to break here?
I wish we saw Republicans deciding to turn the page and put this really awful era of Donald Trump behind them. But instead, they seem to be still captured by Donald Trump.
What is it? Don't you feel like if you look at all the polling, they have a perfect gift to excise this cancer, that's cost them the White House, the Senate, and the House, and move on? And they won't do it. They're such cowards.
Yeah, AOC said it, but we've been, I think, giving them that was giving them too much credit. We've believed, yeah. I've believed that it was about reelection and about maintaining power. But the truth is, they're white supremacists.
Yeah. They want this.
They want it.
Yeah.
They want him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going down to visit him. Like, they want him. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's straight up. This is a choice. They're not afraid. They already lost. They're not afraid.
What?
They know all they have to do is pass some more, not let the John Lewis thing drag their feet. And what are they working on? They've got, what is it, like over 100 bills around the country to engage in voter suppression right now?
Yeah.
Like, they know what to do. We'll just stop you from voting.
Right. Yeah. You know what? We're I don't know. I don't know what to say. We're the people on the Trump-tanic that got into the lifeboat. Like, and Kathy Bates is like, let's go back for them. And I think you're right. We just have to be like, no, they're going to pull us all under. And we're like, okay, you're going to fall and hit the propeller anyway. Don't let go of Trump. Okay, don't then. Which
throw them, throw some of those little floaties, and they can grab them or not.
Protect, do your thing.
Protect voting rights, or we will never get back into office again.
Yes. That's the thing, Francis, is they can only use budget reconciliation twice. Their COVID relief, they're going to use it for first. That is critical. You know, the jobs and infrastructure bill is also critical, but then that leaves out voting rights and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and whatever. And I'm like, you're right. And immigration. And you're like, they're all critical.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We need to start thinking like this is our government, and look at why only twice. Why don't we just change it? That's what they do. They just go ahead and do it. And I'm like, and I am not in favor of the villainy you teach, right? I am not in favor of becoming what I hate. But when I tell you that if we just watched Mr. Connell spend 2 weeks trying to not sit to duly elected senators and try to say that the minority vote in the Senate should be able to determine anything. No. Yeah. Why can't we use it 3-4 times?
Yeah. Yeah,
Trump
I'm with you.
Just took money he had no right to take to build a wall he had no right to build. Why are we acting like we can't do that?
And took it from the military and Homeland Security. And yes, exactly.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt. Turn around, stick it out, show the world you got.
Yeah.
Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt. Bubble
what?
Butt.
Yeah.
Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Come on. Fridays with Frangela at Just Pure Magic. And they're going up at this whole hour. Will go up on the YouTube channel for Progressive Voices.
No, Chris, Political Voices Network.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. It will go search YouTube for Political Voices Network and subscribe. Hit the subscribe button and you'll automatically get all of the videos sent to you. And, you know, it's not just the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Tom Hartman. It's a whole bunch of great stuff. So Political Voices Network. on YouTube.
Because with half of our staff out with COVID or in COVID quarantine, we have had obviously some technical nightmares. We've been on Free Speech TV this hour, but not on the radio. So, and I'm not saying Frangela. I'm just saying I think this was the best Fridays with Frangela ever so far. I'm just saying.
I'm hearing buzz.
And people can see it.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you know how fragile performers' egos are. So I got a love letter about Sexy Liberal COVID inaugural and how great it was, which was nice. And then they said, I was glad I got to talk to you in the VIP meet and greet. I couldn't get in to see Frangela because they're always the most popular ones and I couldn't get in. It's the same way at the live shows. So that was nice as they were. I was like, oh, well, I'm sorry you had to talk to me and you couldn't. I know Frangela is the most popular. Shut up.
I enjoyed the show so much this time. I loved, you know, I told you before, I told Stephanie when we were always meeting and talking about it, but I love it whenever you're like doing something out of your home or, you know, the COVID diaries, just everything.
Those are great.
Were hysterical.
You guys were brilliant as always. I couldn't love it more. Go to sexyliberal.com, the tour section. You can still see it on demand. It is amazing. I'm so proud of all of you guys. I'm blown away every single time. And it's fine, Jill. I'm sorry that you could not get in to see the most popular girls in the world, Frangela, because the line's too long for their rim. And it's the same thing in the live show. Okay. You're lucky I love Frangela as much as I do, Jill, because, okay. The two pipe bombs that were discovered on January 6th, shortly before the mob stormed the building, are believed to have been planted the night before, and we still haven't caught those guys. So that's a little concerning. We've caught Zip Tie Guy and Molotov Cocktail Guy. They're all like evil army men, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're waiting waiting for Bayonet Guy.
Yeah, we don't have Bayonet Guy.
Laying Down Guy.
I know there's a lot going on, but I'm like, we don't know who planted the pipe bombs.
Somebody knows. Because let me tell you what these people don't do. It's keep their mouths shut. Like, somebody knows. Yeah. Many people know.
Yeah.
Whoever that is told a bunch of people. And if there's anyone out there that has an ounce of decency about them.
And Angela, why another exhibit 6,000 for why this should be bipartisan? They planted a bomb at the RNC and the DNC. They wanted to kill Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this is why you're absolutely right, Angela. We're never going to get bipartisan cooperation.
No!
We can't get bipartisan cooperation on a president who incited a riot to kill them.
They don't want to condemn the violence against police officers, one at least who's died, many of whom will be injured permanently forever, and two have committed suicide that were defending them. They won't condemn that. Like, it's insane.
Hal Sparks does this brilliant bit about we'll all get together when the T-Rex comes back, when dinosaurs come back. No, even then, they'll throw us out to be eaten by the T-Rex. Right, Francis?
Yes, absolutely. I'm telling you, the reality is that here we are waiting for people to come together and it's just not going to happen. Stop asking.
Yeah.
Well, hey, absolutely. we can leave the door cracked. If they come, they can knock on it.
That's right.
We can let them in one by one after a thorough check.
You can knock on our door. Yeah, you knock on our door. Three's Company. All right. But Fridays with Frangela, get the final word. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.